God's grace and peace be with you. I was listening to a podcast, as I do almost every week in my sermon prep, and one of the folks on the podcast is a seminary professor who talked about the time a colleague called him up and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm preparing my prophets class for tomorrow." And he said, "What are you teaching?" And he said, "Micah." And the other guy said, "I love that verse." It's like, Micah's a whole book. But if you hear Micah, how many of you already know this verse from Micah? Micah 6:8. Anybody else have that? Like, I know that one. A lot of our youth know it because they learn it at camps. There's songs built around that one. It's one of the most well-known verses from the Hebrew scriptures, is this passage from Micah. "The Lord has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" It's a passage that is so powerful, it's almost just a sermon in itself. But it connects really nicely with the gospel lesson today, where Jesus preaches this version that we have in Matthew, preaches the Beatitudes. And again, those passages are so familiar, it's almost difficult to hear them again. So a little refresher on our context. We're in the Gospel of Matthew. We have heard that Jesus has acknowledged and fled from competing powers that compete against and work against the kingdom of heaven breaking in. There are the kingdoms of this world, and there are kingdoms of all those forces that try to undo God's good creation, the kingdoms of Satan, who's tempted Jesus. Herod has threatened John and Jesus. And so we've already got this context of the kingdom of heaven coming in and near. Not here, but near, and calling us to be the channel through which that kingdom breaks in. So the Beatitudes in this context are a lot more than just, "Oh, that's nice." The Beatitudes are a picture that Jesus paints of what it looks like when the kingdom of heaven, the reign of heaven, breaks through. And it's interesting because there are some clear parallels with another Old Testament story that you're familiar about, because Matthew's clear to tell us that Jesus goes up the mountain. Now, Jesus going up the mountain, the mountains in this part of the world are not that big. They're kind of like Mount Trashmore, you know, if you've ever been there in the Chicago. They're tall hills, but they're not big mountains. So it's not so much a matter of Jesus going to a remote place, but he's actually gone up to a place where he can clearly see everything around him. So hold that thought. Jesus can clearly see the world. That's important. He's not in denial about what's happening. But the other thing about any time someone goes up to the top of a mountain or a hill or whatever, whether it's remote or whether it's just so you can see everything, it does represent closeness to God. It's generally a place of prophecy. It is a place of the inbreaking of revelation of the kingdom of God. Anytime you go up. So that's clear in this one as well. This is a proclamation represented, just like Moses went up the mountain to reveal the inbreaking of God's desire in the Ten Commandments. And like the Ten Commandments, these Beatitudes are a revelation of what the reign of heaven looks like when it breaks in. It's a revelation of what the reign of heaven looks like when it breaks through. And Jesus is not naive and he is not stupid. He can see the world. He can see the power of the forces that contend against God, both powers of this earth. And beloved, I'm going to say again, it does not matter who's in control, who reigns, who's been elected, what political structure or what political party you have. It does not matter where in the world you are. There has never been a kingdom on this earth that does not end up striving against the inbreaking of the reign of God. Human beings are sinful creatures, and we always wind up working against God in some way. Every single one of us. And the same is true for our governments. Ouch. I hate that. I wish it weren't true. But it is for all of us. Just part of what we do. If we didn't consistently work against God, we wouldn't all need forgiveness, but we all do. And so Jesus paints a picture for us of what it looks like when the reign of heaven breaks through to contend with these other forces, the forces of the world, human brokenness, human desires, human arrogance, human foolishness, human. We're pretty good at doing some good stuff, and we're pretty good at messing stuff up. And the messing stuff up part is working against God. And then also the forces of Satan, the forces, those cosmic forces that work to undo God's good creation. Those forces arraigned against Jesus, they're both real and they're both there. But when we, as Matthew told us last week in the words of Jesus, when we repent, when we turn toward God, that allows the reign of heaven to break through in us. It allows the reign of heaven to break through us. And if you're wondering what it means when that happens, Jesus is telling you, this is what it looks like. Those who mourn are comforted when the reign of heaven breaks in. In the midst of their grief, they find comfort and hope. Those who are meek, those who do not have power, those who do not seek to gain power above all things, those who are meek discover they have received everything. The reign of heaven breaks in and it turns the way things are upside down. It turns everything upside down. And it sounds nice. But we tend to want it happen with nothing in this world changing. So some of you remember when I was called here and you revealed to me what you had learned in your self-study during the interim before I was called, and you said, here's what we learned about ourselves. We really need change. We really want change. We really want you to make that happen by not changing anything. Telling me that was what made me accept this call. Because you saw yourselves. Every church does this, but very few of them are willing to admit it. And you owned that struggle. And that's why I got excited about coming here. This is the same thing. The reign of heaven breaks in through us, but it does not do it without discomfort. It does not break through without struggle. It does not break through without change. That is difficult and hard and irritating sometimes. Change is hard, and the kingdom of heaven will change our lives. It will change the way that we interact with the powers of this world. And that's not a bad thing. The powers of this world are not all bad. There's tremendous power in this world for good. But left to our own devices, it's a little harder to choose it sometimes. The reign of heaven breaking through with us challenges the forces of evil that try to undo God's loving, good ordering of creation. By sowing discord and disarray and disharmony and destruction. But the kingdom of heaven breaking in through us, when we turn ourselves toward that, we have the power of Christ to hurl back against that destruction and death. We have the life of Christ to stand up in the face of death. We have comfort to speak to mourning. And we have justice to work in the face of injustice. Jesus' words have so long been heard, rightfully so, as words of comfort. But do not think that they are simply nice. They're not nice. They are filled with disturbing power. But they are filled with hope and life. Thanks be to God.